Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live, wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football talk from our studios at the Meat House. Again, another disappointing loss. New Orleans, maybe they played a little bit better. We're going to talk about it. With me today, Craig Wright, Dell Mims. So all you Saints fans, border to border, coast to coast, grab a drink, sit back and relax, because for the next hour or so, we're going to be doing New Orleans Saints football talk, BS and beer style. Gentlemen, welcome in. If anything else, if you're looking for some glimmer of hope, and maybe I'm being a little bit too cynical, but the Saints did seem to play their best offensive football of the season outside of, three drives at the end of the Atlanta game. How you doing today, Dale?
Yeah, I would agree. Outside of the fourth quarter, this is the best offense we've seen so far. But, yeah, I've been pretty disappointed, just like the rest of Who Dat Nation. But, hey, we're going to get through this thing. And let's start off with our poll question. Simple poll question. Do you still believe? 62% of you guys said yes. So we got a lot of optimistic people out there, Dave.
Okay, I'll tell you what. And Craig, I'll get your input on this. I do believe that this team is still good enough to turn around. Having said that, you can only lose so many games. And even if the Saints were what we thought they would be, you know, you were talking about 10 or 11 games. Now, I mean, I don't know. What are we, one game behind that? Two games behind that? So is there still a chance? I think there is. But they got to turn around right away.
I don't know. Maybe we need to check with B-Train on that math to see if we really have a chance or not.
That's true.
You know what? And I'm pretty low about the Saints right now. I'm lower than I usually am. I'm going to let you guys know something real quick. We are one game back with 13 games left. Get off the damn ledge. We have not played anywhere near our potential on offense, on defense. We've had a dumpster fire for special teams. We are playing real bad football, and we are one game back with 13 to play, including against the Buccaneers, who are ahead of us.
Okay.
Honestly, no, okay. Seriously, okay. No. Okay, look, how are we freaking out here? That it's one game. We're one game back, and the Buccaneers are trash.
Okay, you know I'm gonna keep the balance around here. Tell me what you're seeing on that football field that gives you optimism that they're gonna turn around. I've actually heard,
but that's the point. That's the point, is that we're playing badly and we can't get any worse. We're playing the worst we can do, and we're still not only hanging in games, we won one of them, we're one game back, and we're only going to get better. We're going to get guys back on the field. If one of our three guys plays last week, we win that game.
I don't disagree with you. I don't know if I subscribe to if just one thing goes this or that, we win, because you don't know that. But having said that, I will agree with you. It can't get a whole bunch worse. And the potential for a lot better is still there. Kamara probably changes a lot with that game. And the other thing I'll give you, because I've been talking about how tough the schedule is, and you've been saying the opposite, and looking at it now, I think you're right, Craig. Let the season play out, because now some of the teams that I thought would be really tough haven't played that well either, So the schedule doesn't look as daunting as it did earlier in the preseason.
Well, just looking
I came on here really, really ready to be doom and gloom and bummed out. And then I hear you guys like, oh, it's all over. We're terrible. It's all – shut up. All you guys, this whole Saints fan base.
I didn't even say that yet.
Everyone who's freaking out about a third-string running back needs to get the hell out of the way, because who gives a crap if Latavius Murray goes to the Broncos? He was going to be the third guy next week anyway. I can't believe the negativity. It shows you the guys evidently started watching the Saints with Drew Brees and Sean Payton, because anyone who sat through some of the eras that I did would still see the silver lining here.
Okay. Listen, you are going to drag out this other side of me that's going to make it sound like I'm some kind of Saints hater. But, I mean, let's keep it real, man. I get it. We are all spoiled. Having said that, whether it was bad football before the Sean Payton era or bad football now, this is bad football. And everything you're talking about is we hope that we can reach some kind of level that we haven't seen yet, that we thought it would be. And so far, I don't know if I'm going to go into the next game saying, oh, this is the game. Not the first one, not the second one, not the third one, not the fourth one. But the fifth one is when they're going to put it together. Is that what you're asking for me to do?
So what you're saying is that we should take away from this last game that our offense is as bad as it's going to get. And we had our number one quarterback out, our number one running back out, our left guard out, and our best receiver out. None of those four starters on offense played, but that's the lesson we should take, is that, well, yeah, no, we're just trash. We played with one arm tied behind our back, and we still almost should have won.
You tell me what team plays fully healthy every game, and we're the unlucky team. We're the only team that played.
Fully healthy is not down four starters, 4 of 11. That's ridiculous.
Okay, let's get started with the show. The Saints are 1-3.
Thank you.
Minnesota 28, Saints 25. Do you guys want to do the worst play of the game, sponsored by Dave's loud ass truck?
Yeah, I got to. How about Tyrann Mathieu with that egregious hands to the face penalty he committed on third and long, which would have gotten us the ball back with the lead in 4 minutes left? What a terrible play, hitting him in the shoulder like that and letting someone think it might have been in the face. What just garbage play by Mathieu right there. Unbelievable. Although Lattimore is right there with him for letting him get grabbed in the face on that play and having that face mask penalty committed on him without being called. So really letting that happen to him and still being flagged for the pass interference. So tie between Mathieu and Lattimore for those egregious mistakes on that drive that gave Minnesota the lead.
Dale, I'm feeling like this is the post-game reaction show. I mean, he's still angry. Look at him, and mad about it.
We are in a bad way right now, who that nation. So I do want to talk about these penalties, because we talk about penalties just about every game, and we feel we get the short end of the stick every game. And this game was no different. We had 10 penalties, 102 yards. Four of them were on offense, five on defense. Three of them resulted in first downs. I'm sorry, five of them resulted in first downs altogether. And three of them were on third down. And Dennis Allen talked about that, those penalties that led to those first downs.
I think there was two of them that I don't think I would have done a whole lot differently. There's some things that we've got to clean up just from a fundamental and technique standpoint. Really with everybody, but in the back end that we've got to clean up. It's the third down penalties that are killers, because there's three of those and we're off the field, at least potentially off the field and forcing a punt rather than trying to continue to defend the drive. So those are big plays in the game.
So that's five penalties Minnesota got for first downs, and we got zero that resulted in first downs. It's a big disparity between the two, and it just keeps happening every week. And just talking about the play where Lattimore gets a PI when he was covering Thielen.
To the face.
And Dantzler. Yeah, and Dantzler didn't get called for a PI when he was covering Olave. That was just a few plays later. So if you could be bad, be consistently bad on both sides, and we probably wouldn't have that big of a problem, correct?
You know, a lot of folks think I'm a really angry guy, right? I'm actually more sad. Honestly, after that game, I was real mad right after it happened about the referees, and then I kind of mellowed out into like a just – sad. It's like, I'm way too passionate about the Saints. I let it influence my emotions for days after a game. I think a lot of folks listening to this can relate to have to go into work on Monday when your team just lost and you don't want to talk to nobody, you don't want to get your shit done. But I'm like, I'm sitting here, I'm like, I got little kids, you know, I could be taking them to the pool or going to the park or something. And instead, I'm spending my time watching these corrupt, horrible officials make my day miserable instead of doing what I could be doing with my, you know, my kids ain't gonna be two forever. I should be spending time with my family instead of letting the NFL just torture me for no damn good reason. It's a terrible product at this point. It's not fun to watch when you know at the very end the rug's gonna be pulled out from under you.
Hey, we're sending a big shout out to our new partners over at Sports Talk with Friends. We're going to be teaming up with them to bring you some different personalities and points of view. This season is going to be a lot of fun, so go over to their Facebook group, check them out, Sports Talk with Friends. So Will Lutz hit a 60-yard field goal, and he ended up missing a 61-yard field goal to tie the game. And later on, well, not later on, but in the game, also Hardy muffed a punt. So these are all the things I could find wrong with special teams, or, you know, and good things too. Well, him hit a 60-yarder.
Yeah, it's hard to hang missing the 61-yarder on Lutz.
Right.
But like you've been saying, he has missed a kick every week. And he almost became the first player in NFL history to hit 2 60-yarders in the same game. Like that's not on him. If it was a 59-yard kick, he nails it. You know, like he missed it by literal inches. So, there's no fault in Lutz on that one. That's just a tough break.
Yeah, for sure. Now the whole returning thing, though. I mean, Hardy wanted more money, and
he's already tweeting like he's unhappy, and he's
Oh, he did.
He had a tweet something about like, oh, y'all keep the same energy. Like, he's done. He's looking for the door. I just hate that. I hate that the player that's like, oh, you're not going to pay me, so I'm just going to be a problem. The Chauncey Gardner thing all over again. But Hardy was a valuable weapon, and now he's phased out of the offense. I don't see him on the field anymore on offense, and he's a non-factor in the return game. I've been a little harsh on him anyway, but like, get him out of there. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. I'm still waiting to see Raheem Shaheed. I mean,
come on. This has been
the guy that we're talking about all offseason. I still haven't seen
him. As long as we never put Washington back to return kicks ever again.
Yep. Let's go to the offense, Dan. And tell me, what did you think of Andy Dalton?
I mean, it's pretty much what I expected, right? I mean, not the giant arm, but he checked things down when he had to. His average time to release the ball wasn't actually all that faster than Winston's. It just seemed a little bit quicker because he didn't have a couple of the really drawn-out ones. But there was one big, big difference with Dalton that does not show up on the stat sheet, is that he was calling out protections a lot. He made a lot of adjustments on the line for blitz pickups. And it was very noticeable for anyone who knew what they were looking for that, you know, the offensive line played very well, but didn't necessarily play any better than they have been. But they were getting to the guys and they were making the right calls. And a lot of that is because Dalton's been doing this for a long time. And, you know, Winston's been a quarterback for a long time, too. It must have just been someone else's job in Tampa. Maybe he's not as used to having that responsibility. But Dalton had a much better command of getting those pickups.
Yeah, I agree. I saw like a 3-by-1 set where looked like the slot was coming in on a blitz, and he audibled, and the slot guy went out into the flat to beat the blitz for sure. Now that's something that we kind of looked at last week and was hoping they would actually do this week, and I love the fact that they did it. So,
and maybe that's a coaching thing. Maybe that's from the top down, and when Jameis comes back, it'll still have that.
Hopefully, that
aspect. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can't just hang it all on Dalton. I think the offense itself had some pretty good play calls this week. Mm-hmm. I loved the super jumbo Taysom Hill package. It was 8 offensive linemen and 4 tight ends. It was it was my favorite thing I've ever seen. And if we ran that for an entire drive, we'd go 10 plays down the field and score. I loved it so much. I would watch that with a bowl of popcorn, man.
Yeah. Now, We did see Latavius Murray lead the team in rushing. He had 11 carries, 57 yards, and a touchdown. Of course, if you hadn't heard, he's been claimed by Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I kind of spoiled that one at the top.
Yeah, and now he's going to be going to Denver. But what did you see in the running game as a whole, as far as the offensive line opening up holes and everything else?
Yeah, McCoy and Ruiz both had really good games. Throckmorton didn't play badly at the left guard spot. Tackles are up and down. Ramchek's been really inconsistent, but when he's good, he's real good. Yeah, the line blocked well. As much as everyone fell in love with Latavius Murray, I mean, good one cut and go running back. I like him. I'm actually happy for him getting the chance to be more or less a starter in Denver. He was never going to overtake Ingram. He's not as good a blocker. He doesn't catch the ball as well. You know, he was going to be the third guy if he stayed here. But now in Denver, he's going to get a chance to produce and be on the field and get paid. So I'm happy for him. It'd be nice to have him as a luxury, but, you know, he was offered here or there, and he's going to be a star there, and he's going to be a backup here. So I get it. But, yeah, he played well. I thought Ingram ran the ball pretty well. I thought Taysom ran the ball pretty well. The offensive line is coming together. It's not a bad unit, despite what it looked like with those blitz pickups and issues early on. It's not a bad unit.
Definitely one of the best players that we've been seeing on offense has been Chris Olave. And this game, he had four catches, 67 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, we thought that Andy Dalton might just be checking things down, but he went over the top to Olave too, right?
I mean, when he had to, he still only had four catches. Let's not make a big deal out of it. He had four catches. One of them was in desperation, you know, deep ball that he made a great play on. Good throw. Nothing against it. But, yeah, you need more than him. Landry has been a ghost ever since week one. I was so excited about him in week one, and now I'm just coming back to earth on it. We need Thomas on the field. On the field to get double-teamed, and you need Olave to be the over-the-top guy.
I think Dale said this before. The NFL speaks, and the fact that you got Landry for the price that you got him tells you that the NFL knows that. That doesn't mean he can't be serviceable, because look at Murray. I liked Murray's game when he was with the Saints and the way he played Sunday, but I think you also have to know that a guy like that, I would bet you he has no more than four or five games in him before he hits the wall for his age and the way he runs and and the pounding his body takes. And I would say that Landry is somewhere close to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can give you some things here and there, and he's probably not a bad number three, but you know, a guy that I just don't know if you can count in game out to be a big producer for you.
Well, one of the biggest problems we've had all season is the offense does not sustain drives very often. And this game, we went 4-10 on third down. Now, Minnesota didn't do much better. They got 5-14 on third down. And, of course, they had a bunch of help from the refs. We're getting these first downs. So, I mean, how do we end up sustaining these drives better? Because even if you look at our time of possession overall this season, we're pretty low in the NFL.
Well, I got a couple of ways to sustain drives. You get Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas back on the field.
Okay. It's not as simple as that, or else we would have played better our first two games. First thing we got to do is clean up all these penalties and mistakes that we're making. What's happening is there is some validity to what Craig is saying, because I think we've had a couple of games now where you can see where you're like, you get a team, you shut them down, you get them out off the field three and out. And then all of a sudden you have a penalty and you put it back on the field, and your mindset is like, well, we shut them down. Now we're going to shut them down. Then they go on to score. The point is sometimes maybe some of those drives would have been field goal drives or touchdown drives or productive clock eating drives, but they were killed because we ended up with a penalty that set the offense behind the chains, and they're not in sync yet. So I argue with Craig when we opened the show, just because of all the, it's only this, it's only that, or whatever. And yeah, to a degree it's that, but then there's this whole other thing where if we clean up some of these stupid mistakes, some of these penalties that we're having, all of a sudden even if it's Winston, Winston's not in first and 15, or maybe he does check it down. Maybe he doesn't throw the ball. Maybe he doesn't get the, cause I wonder, our protection looks to be better. I wanted to jump in there and say, I think Hurst has been holding up really well at left tackle. And that's the guy that, you know, I'm sure me and many others like couldn't wait to see the rookie step in and Penning take his place. But the guy's holding up really well. Maybe if we're not in third and 11 all the time, maybe the pressure doesn't get to us as quickly. Maybe Jameis gets the ball out quicker. Maybe he doesn't get hurt. Maybe everything changes if we can find a way to just clean up the fixable mistakes. And then Craig looks like a genius.
I bet he would like that.
He still looks angry, though. I don't know, man. I try to compliment him, and he's just looking at me.
I think it's the eyebrows. I just have really angry eyebrows.
All right. Is there any other offensive player I haven't mentioned that y'all wanted to bring up?
We talked about Taysom Hill, right? I want to see him get more carries. It's been very effective, and we're not doing it very often. You know, and the more often we run it effectively, the more everyone's going to creep up, and he's gonna make somebody pay over the top. It's going to happen.
Yeah,
it might not happen yet, but it's
going to
happen.
When I know this isn't the question, but when do we release Roy Jones Jr.? I mean, why is he on the team? Why do you go out and get a veteran that's like 90 years old who the entire league thought was washed, get him and put him in the game before Tony Jones? I mean, it's not like he's some – if he's a special team standout, I haven't seen it. So why is he on the team?
Good question about this roster management.
I'm not trying to be profound, and because I asked the question more, you know, sarcastically, but then I asked myself, really, what does he do? He's obviously not even the backup to the backup.
Yeah, and seeing Washington return kicks and reminding myself that Washington's on the team, I didn't remember that Jones was here. I thought maybe he was on the practice squad because there he's not playing.
And you want to talk about a roster spot that's available to help in other areas, you know, there it is.
Yep. And that was my confusion yesterday when I learned about the news of Latavius Murray getting claimed, because like we could find a roster spot. Like I can find you like four or five of them.
Okay,
you
know? I can clear that up because I read, I thought that when someone picks your practice squad, then you basically have the right of first refusal. You can take them onto your active roster. But apparently, when a guy is brought up from the practice squad, they're not technically on the roster. They're just brought up from the practice squad, and you can do that. Is it two or three times?
Yeah, well, two times.
So then on Monday, they basically have a 24-hour free agent period where even if the Saints wanted Murray to come back, if Murray wants to go play for another team, the Saints can't stop him. Yeah. So I just learned that today reading it. So, you know, it might have been a situation where the Saints were like, yeah, let's get rid of this guy and let's put Murray on the team. And Murray's like, no, because apparently I'm not a big Denver follower, but one of their top guys blew his knee out. And the other guy, I should remember his name, he's been in the league for 50 years and had three fumbles in four games, and he was a first-round draft pick. I can't remember his name, but he's been around forever. He played in San Diego.
Melvin Ingram?
Yes. No, Melvin Gordon. Gordon. You just had to get me close, see? I was doing all right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, the assist right there.
But the point is that Murray's right there to be be on that roster the entire year. With the Saints, he only has like a little window when Kamara comes back to get any playing time.
I think your connection dropped. We talked about this a minute ago. And that's exactly what the Saints did offer him a spot on the 53, but so did Denver. And he has a better chance to play a lot of snaps and maybe get a paycheck in Denver. So, went over it.
Sorry about that.
Don't listen to our show. It's cool. Even when he's on it, you don't listen to the show.
BS and Beer Media is sponsored by Purple Valley Farms Marijuana. We got that good.
All right, let's move to the defense. Now, one thing I like to keep track of is Peyton Turner's snap count. And he played 20 snaps. The previous week, he played 16. So some growth. Hopefully that keeps going up. Now, the defense is ranked number 12 Now they moved up one spot from 13, and we got three sacks and interception this last game. So Craig, talk to me about the defense.
I mean, this defense has been playing well. I think towards the end of that game, it did get worn down. The penalties notwithstanding, we did give up points on at least the last three possessions for Minnesota. I think two out of three possessions before that one, those three. So they were moving the ball. I know a lot of that is, playing really, really carefully. You know, a lot of that bend but don't break. You know, they get into field goal range, but you don't let them in the end zone. You have to be conservative when your offense is as anemic as ours has been for 4 weeks. The one thing that did puzzle me a little bit is that they left Lattimore basically one-on-one with Jefferson the whole time. They just shut him down in the DMZ, the denied by Lattimore zone. But, you know, he's an elite player. You gotta give some safety help, and eventually they kept forcing the ball to him. Eventually he got some yards and made some plays. So I do question that a little bit. Thielen was basically erased, barring that stupid intercept, that pass interference that should have been a pick. Yeah, that's nonsense that never should have happened. So I'm a little peeved about that. But on the whole, the defense played well. They played definitely well enough to win. If our offense was a little bit better, we do. I mean, we essentially stopped them, and we're getting the ball back with the lead with 4 minutes left. That's how you win a football game. And you know, the referees took that from us, but I think the defense did enough.
Yeah, I was concerned that the run D might have some problems with Delvin Cook coming to town. Dave, what did you see with the run D?
Run D is solid. As a matter of fact, it was a pet peeve that I've started thinking about and figuring out, and I've made this point before about why I think we don't play well against mobile quarterbacks or that read option. Now I'm starting to realize that they've taken Davenport, you know, and I'm a fan of Davenport's, but, you know, I know we have a lot of jokes and stuff, but the guy is pushing 300 pounds now. And so it made me realize two things. One, it's what we do that helps us be a good run defending team. The reason I'm upset a little bit is you take a guy, you invest a lot of draft capital, and then you turn him into a huge defensive tackle, and you take away some, I'm not seeing the athleticism that I've seen in years past. But it's super solid. Like, so that front four is going to stop the run. You have, again, those linebackers. I'm super stoked about, you know, the youth in that position that we were worried about, and Mario Davis not playing quite as well as he has in the past, not making the plays that we're accustomed to seeing.
But
I was going to say, Pete Warner seems to be taking up the slack. So Now you have a wily veteran, and then Pete Warner's flying around like a bullet, man. So he's everything we thought or were worried about or whatever when it comes to linebackers, that's solved. And I think we're seeing the absence of safeties. And I don't want to say the guys who left, but you got to realize, too, that we have injuries in the middle of that back end. It's causing us a little bit of problems too. So I think it's a little bit problematic. And I think Honey Badger is a guy that plays better with a lead than he does when he plays against teams that run. I mean, he's a small guy, and he just doesn't stop the run or doesn't. I don't know, man. When I say tackling, there's different types of tackling, right? There's tackling for a safety where you catch a wide receiver, you get him out of bounds or whatever. Then there's another one, you coming up and there's Fournette coming after you and you have to tackle him, and he does not hold up against that. But he's the guy that you saw him make plays on the ball. And I think that if the Saints had more opportunities to play in games where they were throwing the ball more, we'd see better production from Matthew. But the way games are shaping up now, it's probably not playing to his strength. So that where I see, man, I see the defensive line playing well. I see the linebackers playing well. I think the corners are playing well. And there's some holes in the safeties that are a little bit problematic. I don't think we're quite the defense we were last year, but I still think it's a very solid defense and, you know, top 10, top 8 defense. I just don't know if we're going to be a top 5 like we were hoping for.
Here's the thing that you're missing, though, is about Marcus Davenport. He's played four games in a row. That extra fluff he's carrying, it might have slowed him down a little bit, but it's insulating those joints, huh?
No, yeah, and if we
now
if
he's
we had,
bulletproof.
If we had to pick now, why'd you say that? Knock on some damn wood right now. The thing is, I agree with that. I think maybe I'm literally going back and forth like, man, Davenport's like too big. And I think the Saints may have said, look, you got an option. Stay on the field, put on 25 pounds and stay on the field, or stay at your weight, be a little more athletic and only play 8-10 games a season. So maybe that was the trade-off, and it seems, I'm knocking on wood, seems to be working. But I tell you, Dale, I pointed this out. They showed a picture of his helmet, and his face is just kind of fluffing out, like oozing out of his face, right. Opening the helmet opening. And I'm like, he looks like an offensive lineman. No offense, Craig. No offense, Craig.
He looked like a 300 pounder for sure. Yeah. All right. The injuries coming out of this game, we had Carl Granderson left the game because of an eye injury.
He got another good one.
Yeah, well, Malcolm Roach could be returning pretty soon from IR. He's eligible now to return this week. And the usual, I guess, is going to be Kamara, Winston, Thomas, Pete, May, all going to be questionable for week 5. So we'll see what the practice reports say about these guys. Hopefully we get back at least 2 or 3 of these guys.
Hey, I got a question. So Granderson, eye injury, right? Mm-hmm. There was no flag for hands on the face when he got his eye poked out, but there was for Tyrann Mathieu hitting a guy in the shoulders. I got that right?
I guess you're
just
right checking. There.
Just making sure I had that straight.
BS and Beer, a national institution since, it's a really cool show.
Let's get to our pick 'em. Now, let's look at the standings in Kyle. From the Frenemies Fantasy Football Podcast, he moved up in the rankings a lot, all the way up to number 2 there, tied with you, Dave. And let's see, Craig.
Yeah, we can skip me. It's fine.
You went up to 14 there, Craig. Okay.
Out of 14. That's not bad.
All right. Let's look at some of these lines. Atlanta is at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is an 8.5-point favorite.
Ugh, gross.
Who are you going to pick there, bro?
8.5 points is just too – I don't think that the Buccaneers are that good, but I don't think the Falcons are very good either, and I don't pick them on principle. So I think Tampa Bay wins, but I don't think they win by 8.5. So I guess Falcons – oh, that's dirty. I don't like it.
Right.
Move on. I don't like it. Ah.
Hey, these are just picks. We're not hoping for them to win.
I hate it.
all right, I will take Atlanta plus the 8.5 as well. San Francisco is a road favorite, -5 at Carolina.
They just beat the hell out of the Rams, so they probably should be favored by a little bit. Niners. I like what they're doing on offense. I think their offensive line is really good, and their defense is pretty solid. And I think they're better now that they've got Jimmy G back in the saddle. So I think that the Niners easily win in cover.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you on that too. I'll take San Francisco -5. And Seattle is coming to New Orleans. And New Orleans is like -7 in the turnover ratio. While Seattle, they're in the middle of the pack. They're 0. And Geno Smith has been the biggest surprise of them all out of, like, all of the top passers in the league. He's, like, top 10 right now.
I never understood all the hate on Geno. Geno Smith is like Tyrod Taylor to me. They're both good players that everyone just like, oh, he's terrible. And then they end up playing good. And they're like, oh, my God, that's such a surprise. Like, yeah, I know, because they're good. They never get a fair shake. They end up getting time on crap teams. They don't win, and they get shipped out of town. And yeah, no, I think Geno Smith is a completely capable quarterback. You should not overlook him at all.
I agree, man. When you get drafted early in that first round, you go into a bad situation. And hopefully the coaching staff is getting themselves together so that way when you get this new player, they can coach him up and things will improve.
Well, he got drafted by the Jets, so right. That was never going to happen.
That didn't happen for him. So he spent some time backing out Russell Wilson, learning, and now he's got his opportunity, and he's making the most of it so far. Their offense is ranked number 11 in total yards, while their defense is ranked number 31 overall. So
after seeing what Detroit did to him offense, you know, but Detroit's got a good offense. That's not fair. We're going to move the ball on these guys. I don't think Jameis is back yet. I think it's going to be Dalton again. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to move the ball. I think either Kamara or Thomas come back. We're going to get one of those guys, and that'll be enough. So Saints cover.
Okay. So the Saints are a 6-point favorite at home versus Seattle. I am going to go ahead and just pick Seattle.
Thank you so much. Why are we even doing this?
Saints, I just want them to go ahead and prove me wrong.
You're over here, you're wearing an LSU shirt. You're talking about Seattle winning. You're just the worst. No Saints loyalty at all. You just don't even care.
I watch all the games.
Why don't you go run back to your fantasy football podcast, you bastard. This is terrible.
Yeah, it's too much to be to have New Orleans 1-3 and be a favorite. Like, no, that's wrong.
But Seattle's also 1-3. They're going on the road, and their defense is worse than our offense. He should win. Yeah. Like, that's where we're at. We don't even, if we don't get any better. We just play like we did this week. We should win, and that's terrifying.
Okay, let's pick the score then. Okay. I mean, we pick against the spread. So
the spread is stupid in the NFL. So I hate it. So I don't want to talk about the spread. I don't want to pick the score.
All right. So what do you believe the score is going
to
be here?
31-13. We beat the shit out of them.
Okay. I'm going to say.
And don't edit me. We're leaving that curse word in.
I'm going to say 27-20 Seattle. How about that?
It's just the worst. I don't like you.
Yeah. Well, hey, hopefully so. Hopefully they can prove me wrong and we get back on a winning streak and things turn back around, because, yo, all of the people who saying I told you so are talking about Dennis Allen right now, and I'm hoping he can shut them up.
There's 13 games left. We're one game back. I'm not ready to hit any panic buttons. We have yet to even sniff our potential.
All right, well, that's all the show that we have for you this week. So for Craig Wright, Dell Mims, and our partners at Sports Talk with Friends, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer Podcast, and we'll see you next week.
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us, bs and beer@icloud.com.